Come on in.
I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are Steel Magnolias.
Two sisters who love family, traditions, and all things Southern.
We've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up a chair.
Well, hello, Laura Beth.
Hey, Lainey.
Exciting times we're in here in December.
Yes.
All the buzz in the air of Christmas.
Yes. And speaking of Christmas, and everybody's in gift-giving mode, I have to share this gift I came across this week from a company called Cave Tools.
Okay.
Have you heard of them?
Have not.
Okay, I hadn't either. They have, I just feel like every Southerner is going to need this, whether you're a pro chef or cook or not, a pulled pork shredder claws. I'm going to show you a picture of it.
Hello. I've actually seen these at work. Like, I mean, in action,
so
not at work.
It looks brilliant. I mean, it's a claw, a set of claws, two utensils that you get that help you shred meat into more of a pulled pork.
That's so fun.
Texture. And I just thought it's brilliant. So
that is brilliant. Now, when I was in Alaska, do you remember I got those they called them bear claws that were for salad?
Yes.
That were wood.
Yes.
Kind of same concept.
Yes.
But that's not going to pull meat apart.
Right.
That's just for salad.
Yeah. That's just to
toss
that,
it.
That's just handled well. But
this
has actually got the functionality.
Love that.
You don't have to sit there with a fork. And
right.
Anyway,
love it.
I know we went thoughtful gift giving last week, but I thought this is the most practical thing I can think of giving any Southern cook.
For anybody that has a Big Green Egg or any copy of The Big Green Egg, they would probably love to have that in there.
Yes. So
it's
on Amazon. And, you know, Amazon, if you're a Prime member, it ships like within an hour,
or
2 days. So there you go.
Cave
Tools. There's your nugget.
And I even like the name Cave Tools. Like, that's totally barbaric.
It looks like
meat shredder.
Yes. It looks very barbaric.
That's hilarious.
But very functional.
Well, speaking of gift giving, we had an adventure a couple years ago that was so hilariously wonderful.
Yes.
So we went to the unclaimed baggage store.
Yes. The whole of a vacuum where all unclaimed luggage across the whole United States lands.
I mean, we think about these things existing maybe somewhere, but
if you've ever wondered, though, where that lost baggage ends up, it goes to Scottsboro, Alabama. Population 14,000.
One store.
Yes.
And it's all there with tagged prices, and you can try things on, check things out. They have everything known to man that could be in somebody's suitcase.
Exactly. So they have the exclusive contract with the major airlines to purchase unclaimed luggage across the United States. And it all comes to this store in Alabama where they set up shop and resell it. So,
and it's very organized.
Super organized.
This is legit.
This has been going since 1970.
Okay.
From this family that started it. I don't remember their name, but I did. They've got good information on their website.
Okay.
And they started with a couple of bags of luggage that they somehow acquired, and they sold the stuff out of it. And they were like, this is a pretty good business model. We're just reselling items that are in perfectly good condition, because obviously they are. People were traveling with it,
right?
They were prepared to use it, you know,
so
give it away, do something with it. So it's not your old donation pile.
Right.
This
is something they were willing to wear on their trip.
Stuff you intended to use
yeah.
and to put on. Yeah. So the store itself is huge.
Yep.
40,000 square feet. So basically a Walmart super center.
Divided into departments, if you will.
Yeah. they had men's, women's, fine jewelry.
I remember they had a pretty decent fine jewelry case where there's somebody there who even had the appraisals on.
That's right.
On the fine jewelry.
I forgot
jewelry.
About that. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, they've appraised
Watches.
Everything. I saw that they have a strong relationship with, like, a dry cleaner. So everything is cleaned.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is, which it probably is anyway, if it's in your suitcase.
Yeah.
I'm sure some people would travel with dirty clothing or dirty items, but
for the most part,
things were already, you know, in a better condition. than normal. And so, yeah.
There was even a sporting goods section. Do you remember there was a guy that had one of those humongous, not surfboard, but paddleboards.
It was paddleboards.
That he was purchasing. And I was thinking, somebody traveled with that.
But think about it, too. If you've got, you know, a hobby, you know, and you've got something that you're used to using, whether it be your fishing rod, your guitar. I mean, you want to use your stuff. Your thing.
Yeah.
And it's all there. I mean, all of it. I saw pictures online of the rows of those neck pillows that they've got, because it seems like everybody's traveling with those now. So they've got tons of neck pillows for
probably tons of cameras.
Air travel. Tons of electronics in general.
Yeah.
I mean, tons of chargers. Think of all the chargers that people have had.
Yes.
iPads. Now, a lot of this is interesting to me because I would think it's stuff that you want to use on the flight.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case. Some people, you know, put it in their bag and then end up using it on their trip. So it's open 6 days a week. It is closed on Sundays. But it is like off the beaten path. Like, you're not just happening upon Scottsboro. We went to a lake there because we went during the summertime.
Was it Gunnersville?
Gunnersville.
Yeah, beautiful lake.
Awesome state park.
Yeah.
In fact, the facility that we stayed at was, I think, formerly a Marriott.
It had been a Marriott resort. And then the state of Alabama bought it to use as a state park.
Yeah.
So nice resort, had a restaurant and all. But yeah, we made the journey.
We stayed there. We drove over to Scottsboro for the day. And it does take a day.
Yeah.
I mean, not to get there from Gunnersville, but to
drive,
spend the
shop.
Time there. There's a cafe in the store. You know, you can get concessions. You can take a break.
Take breaks in your shopping excursion.
Because you have to really look because you don't know what you're going to find.
In fact, that's
their slogan. You never know what you're going to find.
I remember I found a bathing suit that still had the tag on it, and it was a $120 bathing suit.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new, never been worn.
Never worn.
You don't know what you're going to find.
See, what I don't understand is how in the world do people just not come back and claim their luggage?
Right, yeah. That's not really who I am. I would definitely be wanting that bag back.
I read the rules in terms of when they're allowed to acquire the luggage. So after 90 days, luggage that's unclaimed is legally allowed to be sold.
Okay.
So that's when their contract kicks in, the store owners, and they're allowed to receive goods. And
some people that had insurance on their bag, maybe they're just like, whatever, I'm not going through the hassle. I got the money. I'll just go buy this stuff again. I don't know.
I guess. But there's even, aside from the, 40,000 square foot store, there's another store they call it Etcetera that's next door that has a bunch of children's.
Oh, wow. We didn't even go
goods.
There, did we?
I think we walked through there, but I think we were just overwhelmed by that point because we'd been in the other store for so
for
long because we didn't know the Etcetera place existed. So, and they said 1 million items pass through unclaimed baggage every year.
Wow.
Like that's the inventory
that they
receive.
Well.
Once you get in there, it's going to be just exciting and fun.
Wouldn't it be hilarious to do some kind of like fun event where you could only buy whatever, we're only buying Christmas gifts of whatever you can find in unclaimed baggage.
That would be awesome. That
or some
sounds like
adventure like
a Griswold family outing
exactly.
or something. Yeah, I think three different dresses from there. One of them was like a European brand. Like that's the other great thing is, you know, some of these brands that you're going to see could be from international travelers.
Right.
Like you're not going to find people running in, you know, you're not going to run into people with wearing your same clothing.
That's true. Yeah.
Likely. So yeah.
Name brand. I mean like designer things, there was designer
right.
clothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess I'm also drawing the conclusion that if you have so much money that you didn't even come claim your baggage, maybe you have a lot of money in the value of stuff that was in your luggage.
That's right.
So they probably do have a lot of top luxury brand and names.
It's really funny.
That are in the store. But we had a blast.
I would recommend
if you're anywhere near Scottsboro to look up unclaimed baggage, to find your way over there, to set aside a couple of hours to meander through the store and just even if it's just for sheer amusement, just to see what people travel
with. That's right.
And what they've left behind and not claimed. It is such a cool experience and one that we wanted to highlight.
That's right. We want others to know about that fun adventure.
From the gym that we found in Alabama. So we'll put up something on our Instagram page about that so that you guys can remember to visit that in the coming days.
Yeah. Well, with gift giving on everybody's mind, mm-hmm. and I was thinking one of the things that would be good for us to talk about on the podcast was writing a charming thank you note.
Oh, yes.
I think a lot of our listeners are probably really good at this, so this will just be a reiteration of things you already know. But some of our young listeners may not ever have been really taught how to do this.
Well, we're not teaching handwriting in school anymore, so cursive's out.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even have cursive handwriting now. I print.
I know that even some of the etiquette books, I've seen there's like modernized etiquette books. Mm-hmm. I don't have any of those. I'd like to stick with my old school. I'm pretty old school in a lot of ways, but I think there is definitely always going to be a place for writing a charming thank you note.
Sure.
Texts are fine in certain scenarios. Emails are fine in certain scenarios. But if somebody took the time to shop for you, purchase something with money that they have worked for, I think mm-hmm. the least we can do is write a thank you note for that.
Yeah.
In our handwriting with a stamp on it, not just an email. So I had just a few little tips here I wanted to go over.
And then I have a question to pose for you after your list is over to see your take on something.
Okay. Now this is just, this might sound a little structured, but I'm just going through like the protocol of a proper thank you. So most sources would say you need to send this within a week of receiving the gift.
Okay.
Get out your stationery and card, and typically a black pen looks nicer than a blue pen. So
that's hard for me. I like
currently
blue.
Holding a blue, which
I almost took your blue pen actually,
but yeah, I think black just, it even, over time sometimes will look better.
Hold up better.
Okay. So anyway,
that's good to know.
And you typically would start with the date and a salutation.
Sure.
So,
how formal do you go on people, you know? If you're writing a thank you to a friend or a relative.
Just the first name.
Yeah.
Just their first name. And then I think right off the bat, you need to say thank you for this, you know, specific gift, mm-hmm. whatever that is. If it's a monetary gift, I really like the wording of saying thank you for your generosity rather saying thank you for the
gift
whatever
card
amount.
Thank you for the Thank you for the cash. Thank you for the cold cash.
Yeah, that just feels weird. Sounds weird. If it's laying around and somebody else reads it, just say thank you for your generosity.
That's good.
And then I think it's nice to write something heartfelt, a compliment about that gesture, whatever comes from your heart, including that. I think it's nice to allude to the future by even telling the person how you're going to use the item.
Yes. That's fun.
Yeah.
I like knowing that when someone's sent me a note.
Nice thing to, you know, looking forward to using this, whatever.
Sure.
Whatever the occasion's going to be. And then just close with an intimate note and sign it, usually with your first and last name. You were asking if it was a close friend.
Right.
Obviously, you don't need to
do
that. I had just written one today, and at the top, it had my name. It was personalized stationery, so I just wrote my first name.
Right.
I was like, that's kind of...
Yeah, that's redundant.
Redundant.
Yeah.
So, but that's the basics. That's what I had for kind of the tips.
So, those are good. I was thinking today about... Is it needed, necessary, to write thank you notes to family members and friends for Christmas gifts that you opened in front of them?
Oh.
So, before you answer, you can think about that. I posed the question to a Facebook group that I'm in. There's a group called There's No Excuse for Bad Manners.
Oh, that's funny.
Which, of course, I love. It's actually a Southern Living subgroup that people just put all sorts of etiquette questions and different people chime in. But I posed the question to them, and overall, I had about 30 people comment in just a matter of hours. It's mm-hmm. a very active group. Mm-hmm. Well over half, like 17 or 18 people said no.
Okay.
Not necessary. They said if you verbally thanked the person that you were, you know, with, or, you know, just the overarching conversation happened or whatever, that you don't have to follow up with a written correspondence. Now, if it was a, you know, friend or relative that sent it, that, you know,
you hadn't even seen them.
They haven't seen it. Then, and that I know that you thank for that, mm-hmm. but I was asking, you know, when you're with the person, mm-hmm. whatever time, maybe not Christmas Day, but at any time during the Christmas season, if you were with the person, is that necessary? So what are your thoughts? Would you, I think you do write them.
I like to go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that it's going to be terrible if somebody doesn't do that. And I think, you know, when it's a family member, you may even give them more than one gift.
Yeah.
It could be numerous things. I don't think you need to mention in that note every little trinket, every
right.
stocking stuffer,
yeah. Yeah.
every, but I just think it's really nice. We don't get to do this enough in society, like formally thanking.
Sure.
So I think it's really nice to say, thank you for opening your home. I loved my whatever.
Well, hosting, I would probably side with you on that.
Yeah.
It's good to write a thank you note. I don't write thank you notes for Christmas,
uh-huh.
for gifts that I open. I think part of it is because there's a lot of
yeah,
gifts.
That's true.
We're very fortunate that we get a lot of gifts around Christmas. Because, like, for a birthday, I probably would
uh-huh.
write a thank you note, even if I was with the person.
Yeah.
But for Christmas, since gifts
You're
were going
together.
Both ways, mm-hmm. you know, I gave them yeah. a gift, they gave me a gift, and it just seems a little redundant
okay.
to me
yeah.
for those
That's
that
fair.
You're with, and for it, because it's probably people that you're close to.
Yeah.
I might reconsider that if I got a gift from, let's say, a very extended family member
mm-hmm.
that I was surprised by, maybe that I didn't even
reciprocate
a gift
do
to,
gifts with,
that might be something that I would mm-hmm. write a thank you note just to acknowledge how kind the gesture was. But I don't think I'm going to write. I have it in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you notes for those that I was with. And I was just scrolling through real quick the comments of what people said. And, you know, it's mostly, you know, if it's, you know, a matter of sitting with them and thanking them in person, you know, the most I would do after that would be a follow-up text or email.
Okay.
That most people said that they... Now, there were the tried and true,
yeah.
hardcore, you know, yes, I was raised right, was a few of the comments, you know, like, okay.
Well, and you know, Larbeth, you mentioned if it was something that was sent, then you definitely
Absolutely.
Would. I just wanted to tag something onto that. We're so in a society now that doesn't do this anymore. In the South, you see it more, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's still, especially with young people, you just don't see it as much. And I just wanted to reiterate the importance of that if somebody mailed you a gift, because they don't even necessarily know if you got
it. You got it. Because stuff gets stolen.
I know that there's tracking on certain gifts
yeah.
and certain shipping now, but I
right.
have literally sent gifts before that I thought, did they get it? Did they not get it? I didn't get a thank you.
Well, that's
do I ask somebody else in the family if they got it? You
yeah,
know,
that's
so,
a big one around weddings too.
It is.
I mean, that's a big, big reason why it's so important around weddings to write thank yous, especially because a lot of money gets
yeah.
given.
I actually have had a gift that I sent stolen.
Wow.
They found the box and the paper. And the gift was gone.
Who found it?
Atlanta post office.
The post office found it. Okay.
So
they're just assuming.
But I did not have insurance on it.
Yeah.
And that's my fault. But my goodness, I thought it was fine. So that stuff happens. It's just nice to.
How does that work? So if you would have had insurance on it.
Then I would
up
have gotten.
To that amount,
mm-hmm.
the post office
would have to give
paid
me
you that dollar
mm-hmm.
amount.
And
okay.
I didn't have it. I've been buying insurance a lot more
yeah.
now on things
yeah.
since that happened.
Yeah.
And I would say even, you know, some post office may be more likely to have something like that happen than others
sure.
if it's a huge city or something. But anyway, writing thank you notes is still a very
yeah.
important and nice gesture if somebody spent money and time on you.
So I have one other suggestion for the modern Southerner, but it might make you cringe because it's not going to involve handwriting.
Okay.
So this is one of my favorite ways to send a thank you note in the modern age, but it mostly revolves around having a cute son. So we've gotten gifts for Jacob, and I absolutely love this app that you can send postcards through.
No, it's adorable.
Postagram.
It is. Okay.
So Postagram is an app, and it is, I think, $1 to send a postcard. But the way that they send it is half of the postcard is a photo that you upload, and then the other half, it looks just like a postcard.
Yeah.
Is your
that your, doesn't your make text. Me cringe at all.
Okay. So I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, so if it's a 50 cents for a stamp.
Mm-hmm. Which it is now.
And I think it's going up.
It's going up, of course.
And it's a $1 for a postagram. I mean, how cute is it to get a picture of a cute kid, you know, using their toy or in their hat? I was going to say,
you can even include them in the outfit or whatever.
Actually getting to see it in motion.
That's really cute.
Then it pops out. Into a, it's perforated the way the photos on the postagram come. It's perforated so you can pop it out and then
and keep the
put
photo.
It on the fridge. Yeah.
So cute.
So that's my modern Southerner suggestion.
I like it.
For postcards is send a postagram. And that, of course, could be, you know, that could even be a family photo. Like you could take a family photo at Christmas of a group or, you know, it doesn't have to be a cute kid. And even just the group photo, having that immediately after the holidays is really fun.
Yeah.
That could be your thank you note. So.
Yeah, I like that.
There's your free ticket.
Yeah, and that within a week I think is good, but I think with there's grace for the busy Christmas and the busy wedding time.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that people are analyzing, but you don't want it to get so far gone that they're wondering if you got it.
Absolutely. Well, now that you've said that, I've already remembered somebody I owe a thank you note to. So I'm glad for the reminder. Hey, I think we're going to jump into our next topic if you're ready, because we wanted to share some of our list of must see Southern movies.
Yeah, we figured you're going to be watching more movies this time of year. A little more downtime in the holidays.
There's time off from work. There's more time with family. Sometimes that means you need to find something to do together. So I'm not saying necessarily that all of the movies we're going to talk about are family friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, some of them are definitely not. But if you are looking for some entertainment, these would, I would guess, all be available either through Netflix, Hulu, or Amazon. Because these have all been out for quite a while. So
yeah, I have nothing new on my list.
Yeah, I don't even know the newest one I've got, maybe a few years ago. Okay, so we're going to pop through. We've got several to mention, so I don't know if we'll be able to give much description on all of them. And I haven't even seen all of them, but in no particular order. Lainey, tell us one Southern movie.
Well, we got to start with, I mean, for goodness sakes, our podcast is called Steel Magnolias. So you got to start there.
So good.
Such a wonderful movie. It's comedy. It's drama. It's, I could actually talk a lot about that one, but I know we are limited on time. But
well,
I have,
based on a play, though. Mention that.
It was written from a play, which the whole play takes place in Truvy's Beauty Salon.
Truvy played in the movie by Dolly Parton.
That's right.
Classic
and it
Southerner.
Is a wonderful play. If you ever get the opportunity to see it, I saw it in Montgomery, Alabama, and it was just wonderful. But I have some fun news, Laura Beth.
Oh.
Our Franklin, Tennessee pull-tight players will be doing Steel
Stop
Magnolias
it.
In March.
In March. Oh,
yes.
My gosh. We have to do a meetup.
So we have to do something around this.
When do the tickets go on sale? Do you know?
The tickets will go on sale 11, I think it's 11 days before the show. So maybe sometime in February. Let me get on that. I'll do my research on
pull
that.
Pull-tight is tiny.
Pull-tight is tiny.
So it's going to sell out.
And if you're
fast.
An actor or actress, the auditions are coming up soon.
Okay.
So I even wanted to mention that you'll need to go to Pull Tight Theater to
in
look
Franklin.
Up. But I was over the moon when I saw that was coming in March.
I can't wait. You've seen it.
I have seen
Where did
it.
You saw it in Alabama?
Montgomery, Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
And it'll be all in the beauty shop.
Yeah, it's so, so, so sweet. And yeah, I have heard this guy interviewed that wrote the screenplay. Mm-hmm. Very touching. It was the true story of his sister.
Mm-hmm.
His sister is the Shelby character.
Yeah.
And yeah, just very touching in his writing of that story to always remember her.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, that's right. My first one I had to mention.
If you haven't seen Steel Magnolias or if it's been a while, grab the tissues.
Yes.
Cause it's a tearjerker.
Yeah.
But, okay. This one I actually watched recently, so I'm going to mention it first and I just love it. And I think it's one that it's hard to talk about on here cause you're always going to step on toes with this topic, which there'll be others in this list that mm-hmm. do that, but The Help.
Oh yeah.
Based on a best-selling book.
Yep.
So good. Talks a lot about the racial tension
mm-hmm.
in Alabama and the very, just incredibly tough time that the help, you know, went yep. through, and their relationship with the families that they served and especially with children.
Yeah.
That they raised.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it. I actually haven't read the book, but I would be probably curious to do that because
yeah.
it was that good of a movie yeah. to me. So
yeah, that is a very good one.
The Help.
And yeah, unfortunately with Southern movies, there is the parts of our history that are difficult
yep.
around race. And so, it's going to touch a lot of our movies.
Yeah.
And, thankfully we've come through a lot of that, but some of that still exists and there's prejudices in every area of society. But,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, The Help is a good one. And then another one that I have to mention again, there's controversy around some of the characters in this as well, but probably the most famous Southern movie of all time is Gone with the Wind.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And, famous worldwide actually.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
So it came out, I think in the '30s,
yeah,
right?
Maybe 37, 39. I yeah. can't remember, but around the time of this house, I always think of,
oh, cool.
There were some really good movies that came out at the same time as,
yeah.
you know, in those mid to late '30s.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that is an epic movie of, overcoming
sure.
things. Obviously
it
includes
lines.
The Civil War and yeah, she, Scarlett O'Hara is an interesting character. A lot of people find her challenging and she definitely throws lots of hissy fits. We
she
call
does.
Them in
hissy
the South.
Fits. Yes. That's a Southern term.
But, she is an overcomer and quite a tough lady.
Yeah.
And so there's a
She'd
lot
be a
to be
Steel
learned.
Magnolia for
yes,
sure.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. Well, that's a good one. All right. I'll go a little light on one. Gosh, I love this movie. Shag.
Oh, that's kind of a cult following
it's
movie. It's
so good.
So funny.
So four gals that, finish high school and take a road trip unbeknownst to their parents. Off to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and Bridget Fonda plays such a character
yeah.
in this movie. I mean,
such a character.
She just, I don't know. You just got to see
And
that.
I already was a fan of Phoebe Cates, and she's adorable in this
yes.
movie as well. And yeah, it's a cute one.
So set in the 60s, maybe. It was
that
released like
right.
late 80s, but takes place in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, centers around just
this dance contest. The shag is a popular dance style
yes.
over on that coast. And sometime we'll have to talk about that as well.
Exactly.
But
oh my gosh.
That's a cute one.
It makes me want to go to Myrtle Beach too. But in that time.
Yes.
Like
yes.
In
with
the
those
60s.
Clothes.
I want to wear like
those bathing suits.
A wide headband and like a mod looking bathing
yes.
suit.
Yes.
Yeah. So, really
cute.
Fun movie.
Gosh, there's so many good ones. Forrest Gump.
Oh,
that's
so
such
good.
A great movie. And also, gosh, a lot of these are Alabama that we're mentioning.
That's what I'm noticing too.
Anyway, that's a
Forrest Gump. You want to go through more Alabama ones while we're at it?
Sweet Home Alabama. That's such a cute movie.
That's good. Selma.
Oh.
Selma, Alabama.
Wow.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Alabamas, huh?
If you haven't seen Selma, highly recommend it. I would say, what is that actor's name that plays the lead? I'm trying to think of his name. You know, centered around lots of racial obstacles that were hitting that time. And
I'm embarrassed to say I have not seen that one yet. So that's on my list for soon in the holidays.
Well, put it down on your list. It came out like 2014. Mm-hmm.
In my defense, I haven't seen many movies. It's not that I just let that one go.
David Oyelowo. He is the lead and he is incredible. Wow. So it's, you know, he plays MLK Jr. And it's just so good. So much history there. But I highly recommend Selma.
Driving Miss Daisy.
Yes!
That's a great movie.
Oh, such a cute movie. I say cute. Is cute the right word for that? I don't know. Inspiring? Esteeming? I don't know. But was that Alabama? Driving Miss Daisy?
You know, I don't know the location. It's been a while since I've seen that one.
All right. Well, I'm going to move out of Alabama because I don't know if I've got any more. The Notebook.
Oh, yes. Oh, what a love story that is.
What a love story. I mean, this comes on TV a lot and I still cry. Even if I only catch a 10-minute segment of it, it's that good.
I just thought of another one not on my list that's in Alabama.
What?
Big Fish.
Oh, that was fun.
So good.
That was a fun movie.
Yeah.
How about... Oh, you go ahead again.
Well, I just don't want to miss one of the also huge classics, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, yeah.
So, such a beautiful movie, also based off a book, and that's a must-see.
What about, this one's a good one, Fried Green Tomatoes.
Yes.
We even went to the Whistle Stop Cafe.
We did.
In
Georgia.
In Georgia, yeah.
Juliet, Georgia, is that the name of the town? I can't remember the name of the town. It's a small town, but it's where they filmed a lot of the scenes of the movie.
Yeah.
And you can see, there's not a lot to the town.
The interesting thing, now that I'm thinking about this, is what I love about a lot of these Southern movies is just the strength of the characters that comes through the storyline. Because
femininity and strength, which is our
Steel Magnolias. Yes. Exactly. Fried Green Tomatoes tells different storylines that are intersecting and happening all at the same time, but then it's also a present day story with Kathy Bates
and an appreciation of this elderly woman she befriends, and
yes,
so precious.
There's a lot of good lines from that
there
movie
is.
Too. I would actually like to rewatch that one. That's from 91. Gosh.
There's so many. I was even thinking sometime we'll do a whole category on even just the John Grisham ones. We won't go into all those because there's so many, but
yes,
he's had some great books and then later made into movies. So
that's true. Was he from the South?
Yes.
Maybe?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Mississippi. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, my gosh. That's a good one.
That's a good soundtrack, too.
It is.
I mean, there's such good music through that one.
Sure is.
That's a fun one.
That's all the ones I had scratched down here on my little notepad.
Coal Miner's Daughter.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to bring some hard life.
And I just thought of another one that's great. I don't know if you can find it on Amazon or Netflix, but was it last year or the year before? Dolly Parton did a Christmas story that aired on network television.
Oh, The Coat of Many Colors.
The Coat of Many Colors. It was so good.
Yeah. I don't know where you would find that now, but it was her story. You know,
and
she's
it's
got the
really
song.
Good. And of course, you know, Dolly is our spokesperson of the South.
So good.
Love her.
Yeah. Yeah. They actually, they did two parts.
There was The Coat of Many Colors, and then later there was, I can't remember the name.
But it actually went into even more miracles that her family
faced
in this blizzard that came upon their home. I mean, it's a miracle she's alive.
It really
is. It's a miracle
is.
Her whole family's alive.
Yeah.
Or that they survived that.
And she's from the area where our parents were from.
Yes.
And so we have this huge appreciation for just how poor they were in Appalachia.
That's a good one. I'd forgotten about that. That was kind of a television series,
is
what that would
it
be
was.
Categorized. A Streetcar Named Desire.
Okay.
I actually haven't seen that, but
A Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Yeah.
That's a very Southern.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, maybe we can watch some of these.
What was that other one? Green something? Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Green Mile?
Yeah. Was that a Southern
Probably.
Movie?
Probably. Yeah.
I feel like it was. Something. Yeah. Was he on death row or mm-hmm. something? Yeah. Well, nothing brings the holiday spirit
like a death row story.
Yeah, we...
well, lots of these movies, though, they have comedy and drama together. Some are just drama, some are just comedy, but...
Yeah.
Definitely...
That's a good list. At least that's a good start.
To get you started.
Surely
if you want
you're
to
not
see some
get,
Southern.
Yeah, you're probably not going to get through all of those, but something in there in that list should hit home for you. Well, if you aren't staying at home watching movies, you may be looking for an idea of something to do to get everyone out of the house, right?
That's true.
As much as we love and would want to entertain and encourage those to entertain around the table,
yes.
Sometimes it's best just to get out and go to someone else's table. So we wanted to chat through just a few of the places that are experts at this in the South. A few restaurants that specifically focus on that family style seating.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm not talking like you're just so close that it's like your
feels
family.
Like family. Like
I've been to plenty of New York restaurants where I pretty much could have shared appetizers and the bottle of wine with the group next to me because we're that close.
So wild.
I'm talking it's actually purposeful and you're seated at a table with a group and that you are sharing dishes. Like you are scooping.
Casserole dishes are coming around.
Casserole. And you are reaching for fried chicken out of the same bowl. So I've got two places in Tennessee to mention and two in Georgia. I'm sure there are many others. But those are just the ones that I happen to know about. And you knew about one in Kentucky, right?
We used to go to one in Bowling Green called Lone Oak. It's no longer open. I found out, sadly. But we used to, my sorority would all go and for our Founders Day meal. And there was one old lady that owned it and two other old women. The three of them would do all the cooking and all the serving. And it was so special to go with a group and be served in these casserole dishes. And we just passed it all around and it felt like,
it's like going to someone's house, except you're not, out at a restaurant.
That's
so,
right.
Monell's here in the Nashville area, their original location is still running and is in Germantown, so just north of Nashville. It opened in 1905.
Wow. That's impressive.
That is impressive. They do lunch and dinner, and it's, you know, it is only family style seating. So, like, you can't go and be like, oh, there's just two of us. You're, you know, there's
right.
just
Right. You can go as two.
Right.
But you're going to be sitting with other people.
Yeah. Like, it's not an option.
Yeah.
Which I just think is so funny. But I guess everyone knows that going in. It's a set menu each day.
Yes.
So you can look online and see, you know, what the different meats and sides are going to be. They're closed on Sundays and Mondays. You know, it's a set menu and set price. Mm-hmm. So you're not ordering anything off the menu. I mean, it's just, it is
Here's what it is. Here's what's served today.
Sometimes they even have a barbershop quartet this time of year that will go around from table to table.
Yeah.
So just a fun experience. Great food.
Really good
fried chicken. Yeah. And there's just, it's all good, but there's a couple of things like the fried chicken that they do really well. So, definitely would recommend them. And then also in Tennessee is the former boarding house, now restaurant, Miss Mary Bobo's restaurant down in Lynchburg, Tennessee, made famous by the Jack Daniels. And it's been running since 1908.
Wow.
So both of these, you're kind of starting to hear a theme, like early 1900s, that must have been the thing. And we've had some tried and true that have lasted. So
Mary Bobo's even has cookbooks of their recipes and things like that, but it's legit.
It's like a tourist stop because
people go into the distillery.
The distillery is just down the road. In fact, the proximity is real because Jack Daniels would go to Miss Mary Bobo's on his lunch break from the distillery. So, I mean, this is really what he used to do in terms of his routine, but you get a table host
and they're really knowledgeable.
They're historians. They're docents, if you will. They're knowledgeable on the area, the house history, They've kind of got a little script that they're, you know, intending to go through as the meal goes on. But they'll entertain questions. They're lively women. They're just fun. Mm-hmm. You can tell they really love it. I don't know if they're volunteer. I'm sure they're paid. But
I think they're paid.
You know, they're just, you could tell they want to be there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I would say definitely make a reservation. I think it's required to make reservations. It's lunch only. No dinner. And build in time to go to the distillery, because the distillery tour is really good. There's no tasting.
Dry County.
At the distillery. So even if you're not a drinker, if you are looking for something to do just for entertainment, it is interesting to hear the process of the distilling. Okay, so that's Tennessee. And then two in Georgia, Miss Wilkes Dining Room. So I have not been here because it's in Savannah, Georgia.
Okay.
Dying to go to Savannah. But all the reviews say the hour plus wait is totally worth it.
Okay.
So I guess there's no reservations. It's cash only.
Okay.
It sounds so old school.
So awesome.
I love it. But really, there's a line that starts gathering every morning on West Jones Street at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
And the doors open and you know, lunch crowd finds a seat, and I think it's tables of 10 that are all shared.
Okay.
Fried chicken, cornbread dressings, sweet potato souffle, black-eyed peas, okra gumbo, corn muffins, biscuits.
Wow.
These are just the regular menu items. So menu does change daily, so you'll probably want to check online if there's something specific that you're wanting to see, but
you're going to be sitting
with strangers, but probably meet some really interesting people. And then the last one is the Smith House in Dahlonega. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Dahlonega, Georgia. And history of the Smith House goes back to 1884.
Wow.
When a gentleman by the name of Captain Frank Hall purchased an acre of land east of the Dahlonega Square, like the town square. Mm-hmm. He built a home there and I guess he was like Captain Hall. He moved from Vermont to Dahlonega in 1868 after the Civil War.
Okay.
So he was, just came into some fortune and acquired the land.
Very cool.
Yeah. So it's lunch only on weekdays and lunch and dinner on weekends.
Okay.
But it's fried chicken, baked ham, fried okra, green beans, mashed potatoes, and gravy. The works.
So you could go eat that wonderful meal and then walk it off, walking around the town square
exactly.
And seeing all the cute Christmas.
Yeah, we mentioned Christmas.
Yeah,
there is a really good stop. So anyway, just fun experiences. You never know who you're going to be seated next to.
Yeah, that can be funny.
Hopefully it's a interesting character or somebody that enjoys good conversation, because you're definitely going to be sitting there for your whole meal. So
that's right. Well, there's nothing like serving food at your own table, but sometimes you do need to get away and let somebody else do the cooking and cleaning.
That's true. That's true.
Family style can be fun.
Good. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. We hope you will join us next week, because it's going to be Christmas and we have something real special to share with you guys. And so wherever you're gathered and with your family or friends or just wherever you might find yourself, we've got a really special treat to share with you on Christmas Day. All right, y'all. Have a good one.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.